This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We're expecting some rain at times today, a high temperature of 66. We'll have the forecast coming up.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park and also sponsored by GWC Law. Let's kick things off with an update on Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Joan Doniger.
Cisco, a push from energy and consumer stocks are helping the Dow move closer to 23,000, but tech stocks and healthcare shares are pulling back. The Dow right now is up 47 points to 22,808. The NASDAQ is down 6, the S&P up 3. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is a third of a percent higher. That thanks to United and American Airlines. The lift there, better than expected revenue during the summer quarter, what with a fair war and hurricanes that were thought to have hurt revenue. Energy shares are rising along with crude oil futures today to a penny below $51 a barrel. Walmart shares are seeing a two-year high. They're up more than 4% after Walmart predicted its online sales could rise 40% during the next fiscal year. The gains might even be better were it not for Procter & Gamble. Investors pulling back after the company said shareholders did not vote activist investor Nelson Pence onto the P&G board. He says too close to call. He wants the results independently certified. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
On today's Noon Business Hour, we will discuss where we are with the president's tax plan at this point, what kind of future it has. And one of our guests believes that the bank rally is getting ahead of itself and could be dangerous to investors.
We'll look at Walmart and P&G stocks, some story stocks today with some activity going on and things in the news. Travel Tuesday, a double dose where you can travel to get not only fall airfare deals, but also some great apple orchards and pumpkin patches all within driving distance of Chicago. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
President Trump's promise to cut corporate taxes, of course, has been causing excitement on Wall Street. The bigger question is what his plan would mean for the overall economy. Let's take a look with Bob Bruska, chief economist with Fact and Opinion Economics based in New York. Bob, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. What's your opinion on this?
Well, I think that lower taxes are generally liked by firms. I think that often it can lead to more economic activity. It can help in the case of the United States, where we're a high-cost economy, to let firms deal with the higher labor costs and other costs that they have here and trying to compete with firms from overseas. But that's only part of the picture. And Mr. Trump has a lot of moving parts in his tax plan, making it very hard to tell exactly what the implication of this plan would be, because he's taking things away from you with one hand and giving them back with the other hand. And you know, you really have to look at your taxes carefully to figure out as an individual how this is going to affect you.
The economic reports have indicated that the economy is doing okay, at least. How much repair do we need?
Right. Well, the IMF in its new outlook has raised the U.S. GDP forecast for the next 2 years, but only by a tenth of a percent, just a tick. And today we have this NFIB survey that's out that actually fell lower for the but from the 105.3 level to 103 level. And, we've lost some momentum. Small businesses in particular, which is what this survey is about, we're getting optimistic about the economy. And you see a big jump in the responses to this series after Donald Trump gets elected. You know, these are his people. But even these people are losing their enthusiasm as time goes on because things aren't getting done. And there's a lot of planning for better times, but not much acting, you know. So I think that there are problems with the economy. I think in some ways it's gotten better. But I think this view that the economy is much better and that things are much stronger is still not quite right.
So does that make the case for this corporate tax cut? Does the economy need that? Or is there a chance that if you go from, say, 35 to 20, it might actually be too much, maybe create a bubble in the economy?
Well, I don't think you're going to create a bubble. You know, economists always point this out anyway, that, you know, corporations are double taxed. You know, if you're a corporate owner, when your corporation makes money, it pays a tax. And then when it pays a dividend to you, you as the investor pay a tax again. So there's double taxation here on monies made by corporations. So it's hard to be too upset about lowering corporate taxes, because they're really, the money they're making before it gets to the shareholder gets taxed twice. But I think that one of the things that I'd like to see done is I'd like to see the corporate tax rate lowered. And then I'd like to see this whole host of incentives that companies have, I'd like them gotten rid of. I'd like business to be simplified. You know, so if you're going to cut their tax rate, then take away all of these different incentives that different firms, different companies, different industries get, and make it simple. Because the actual corporate tax rate that people pay isn't that high. And it's because they get all these other deductions in the context of the existing tax code. And that's why the tax cut is probably not going to have that much of a powerful effect, because firms aren't really paying anything close to what the posted corporate tax rate is.
Great insight, as always. Thanks for joining us, Bob Bruska, chief economist at Fact and Opinion Economics in New York. Coming up, bank stocks. They're looking like Humpty Dumpty to some watchers.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Some of Wall Street's most outspoken bank analysts are having a 90s flashback. Not a good one. We're with Dick Beauvais, bank analyst for the Vertical Group based in Tampa. Dick, before we get into maybe some specific banks, overall, what's your opinion of bank earnings and bank stocks these days?
Well, Cisco, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that if you think of the bank as an organization that sells products, and you start to look at the products that they sell, they're not selling very many. In other words, 2 years ago, C&I loans were growing at 10%, and now they're growing at 2%. Auto loans were, so to speak, flying off the shelves, and now they're declining. You've got problems developing in the sale of credit card loans. If you look at the quality of the product being sold, you know, loan losses are likely to expand. And if you think about the fact that you're only getting 10 basis points when you deposit your money in the bank, and the bank is reselling that money at 114 basis points, you recognize that at some point there's going to be a narrowing of the margins of the banks, not an expansion. None of that is good.
Now, what about rising interest rates? Does that put even more pressure there?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Why should you as a consumer or as a corporate treasurer accept, 10 basis points for the money that you put in the bank? The whole banking industry, if you take all of its cost of money, is only paying 45 basis points for funds. And, you know, again, if you compare that to what they're selling the money for, it's the widest spread in the history of the numbers, which go back to 1984. So you have to assume that people are going to wake up and say, hey, you're making a lot of money. Give me some of it, and demand a higher return. And I think rising rates, therefore, might have the negative effect that people think. In other words, people think rising rates are going to affect the banks positively. It may affect them negatively.
Is the rally in banks, is it fundamental, the fundamental numbers, or is it more momentum?
It's all market momentum. There's nothing in the fundamental numbers that would suggest, Chris, that there's going to be any particular benefit, you know, to bank earnings when they start to be reported on Thursday and Friday. I think that it's all the market is moving up, because you've got, you know, you had $300 billion move out of managed funds and $400 billion move into passive funds and ETFs. That $400 billion is pushing this market higher. It's pushing bank stocks higher, and that's creating tremendous risk in these stocks, because if the stocks are moving higher and the fundamentals are not improving, you're looking for trouble.
Do you have any recommendations in this sector?
Well, you know, there are some stocks that I would clearly avoid, like Wells Fargo and Goldman Sachs, and there are some that I like, because even though I'm not looking at a very attractive growth for the industry, they're just catching up to the industry, and that would be Bank of America and Citigroup. So there are stocks on both sides of this. But In the main, I would not be overweighted in bank stocks at the present time.
Great insight, as always. Thanks, Dick, for being with us. Dick Beauvais, bank analyst at the Vertical Group, based in Tampa. Coming up, what's moving Wall Street, and also Travel Tuesday, fall in Illinois. The fun stuff to do with your family. We'll get a check of the markets from Bloomberg as well.
News time, 12:25, and let's take a look now at the markets with Joan Doniger.
Chris, Walmart is leading the Dow to new heights. Right now, the Dow is up 51.5 points to 22,812. The NASDAQ is down 5. The S&P is up 4. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is getting a boost of 0.33% from United, Continental, and American Airlines, as well as Walmart. Everybody up in the 5% range. Investors are happy with Walmart's projection of a 40% jump in e-commerce sales next fiscal year, with groceries leading that increase. Now, you might have heard that Walmart is testing grocery deliveries that take the extra step of putting them away in the fridge. Well, if Walmart wants the key to your house, Amazon's not only looking at that, it's looking at the key to your trunk. CNBC reports Amazon is exploring not only a smart doorbell to unlock the door for delivery, but it's also talking with the maker of a smart license plate frame. That product contains a secure box to hold car keys. Now, the airlines are also lifting the local index because both United and American saw more revenue than expected during the summer quarter. Investors had been anticipating the worst because of a fare war, plus the three hurricanes back-to-back that canceled so many flights. Now let's check with Pete Manhart from Bates Commodities and Normal. Pete?
We have had mixed prices here today at the moment. Grains are all lower. Corn for December down a penny at 348.5. March down 3/4. We've been down 1.5 to up 1.75. Beans have been down 1.75 to up 9 at the moment. November's are down 1.5 at 965.25. And wheat's been down 2 to up 4 at the moment. We're down 0.5 at 435.5 in December wheat. Mixed prices here before Thursday's USDA report. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
The Dow up 51 points with business at 25 and 55. Live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio, WBBM.
Some big news coming out of some big shareholder meetings.
It's Travel Tuesday, and we're talking about traveling to see the fall season.
A wild few days. Some air travel bargains. You can find them.
At least 13 people are dead in wildfires devastating California.
WBBM Business, the Dow is up 50, the NASDAQ is down 3, the S&P is up 3 points.
62 degrees, a high today of 66 with rain at times. It's 66 right now at the lakefront.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park and also sponsored by First Eagle Mortgage.
Well, joining us to discuss what is moving Wall Street, Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter based in Hammond. Chuck, what are you seeing in the market today?
Well, we're seeing a kind of a continuation of what we've seen here for the last several weeks, kind of a market that, doesn't go up 1%, but it goes up, quarter percent, and continuing to kind of march higher. I like these kind of markets, quite frankly. They don't become kind of trading-oriented markets with the volatility the traders like. We just kind of slow and steady wins the race here, and that's what we've seen.
We were reporting earlier about some bank stocks that seem to be doing very well, but the fundamentals may not really be supporting that. When you look at the market right now, do you see the rally continuing?
We do. I think that I know there's the big question on everyone's mind is terms of valuations. Certainly certain sectors might be stretched a little bit, but I don't think valuation is too much of a problem for this market, particularly in areas. You mentioned financials. I still think there's upside in that group. And I still think there's upside in a number of areas. We've got both the Dow Jones Industrial and Dow Jones Transportation averages, both moving in sync to higher levels. And as you know, that's really what you need is a bull market under the Dow theory, which is what we follow. So you're starting to see small caps do a lot better. So the breadth of this market is good. And You know, that's not to say you can't have periodic pullbacks here, but I don't think you're going to see too much of that before the end of the year. I think investors right now are worried about missing out for the remainder of this year, and I think there's more likelihood of a kind of a melt up than there is a meltdown at this point.
What do you make of Procter & Gamble? Kind of interesting that they, at least in the near term, at least today, they've won a fight with an activist investor, though that may not last.
Yeah, you know, I think that kind of speaks to kind of the large individual investor base that Procter & Gamble has. And my guess is, and again, it's just a guess, but that proved pretty significant in their battle with Nelson Peltz and Trion to get the vote they needed to keep him off the board. Now, he and Trion owned roughly, about $3.5 billion of Procter & Gamble stock. So my guess is he's not going anywhere, but at least for the time being, the company won a little bit of a victory in terms of keeping him off the board. I don't think that's going to have a major impact on the stock price. I think investors in Wall Street still kind of like having him around is kind of the burr in the saddle to make sure the company kind of continues to focus on trying to improve operations and profitability for shareholders. But yeah, it was interesting. Now, he did lose a similar proxy battle with, DuPont earlier. He did get a board seat now on GE, so he's been pretty active in terms of trying to influence big, large companies. But the Procter & Gamble one was kind of at least a short-term defeat for him.
P&G stock down about 1% today. Another story stock is Walmart, opposite, up more than 5% today. What's going on with Walmart?
Well, they came out with some really good news from a retailer standpoint. The company plans to buy back an additional $20 billion. Whether it's stock, its e-commerce business continues to grow very significantly. They're looking for 40% e-commerce sales growth in fiscal 2019. Sales guidance they gave was a bit better than the consensus had. And I think overall the tone of everything kind of points out that, you know, in a retail environment where everybody is pretty much afraid of retailers because of, quote, the Amazon effect, you know, people kind of forget Walmart is still a pretty big player in retailing. They've got a ton of resources, and they're going to take advantage of that. And I think there is an increasing realization that Walmart is here to stay. They're here to play hard, and they're going to continue to be successful in the retailing space. And I think the stock's reflecting that today.
Chuck, will the markets continue to expand with or without the president's tax plan?
Well, I think it certainly has helped that there has been some momentum on the tax plan, particularly for the small cap stocks and mid cap stocks, which had been lagging. I don't think this market it rests entirely on that. I don't think we would get a bear market if, in fact, tax reform didn't occur. But I do think you would probably see a little bit of a slowdown in the upward trend here if tax reform stalled. I think that's been a positive. But I think the biggest story in this market, and people have really overlooked it with all of the political machinations, is usually the case, bull markets are driven by earnings. And this has been an earnings-driven market. And, you know, as long as earnings can continue to carry the day, which I think they will, the trend of this market is going to be up.
And the signal we're getting from the Dow theory?
It's very bullish. We've got new highs in both the industrials and transports and a continued series of new highs. They're in sync. They're moving higher. That's exactly what you want to see under the Dow theory. So it's unequivocally bullish right now.
Chuck Carlson, always appreciate you being on the show. Great insight. Chuck is CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecasts newsletter based in Hammond. Coming up next, Travel Tuesday. We'll tell you some great destinations within driving distance of Chicagoland. Also later on in the show, double dose of Travel Tuesday. If you do want to get even farther away from Chicago this fall season, we'll tell you about some airfare deals.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Load the kids in the car. It's time for apple orchards, pumpkin patches, and some of the fall colors. Joining us now on the Travel Tuesday segment, Cindy Richards, editor-in-chief of TravelingMom.com, an online family travel magazine based here in Chicago. Now, Cindy, when we talk about seeing the colors or visiting pumpkin patches, things like that, we're talking about areas that are within driving distance of Chicagoland. These could be day trips.
Absolutely. There are a lot of places well within a day's drive of Chicago. But what I always tell people is to plan your trip. You know, don't just think I'm going to go there and pick some apples and come home, because you might be driving 90 miles. So it's not just a like run to the grocery kind of trip. You want to make a day of it.
And are some of these areas, thinking apple orchards, that sort of thing, is there enough going on there where you can really spend several hours there and make it worth the long drive, just beyond spending a half an hour picking apples?
Well, yeah. And, you know, increasingly these things have become kind of destination events, right? It used to be that you just went there, you picked the apples, you were done. Maybe you bought a little cider and, you know, and then you went home. But now they have petting zoos for kids. A lot of them are sort of one-stop shop. You know, you can pick apples, you can pick raspberries at the end of the season for raspberries. You can pick your pumpkin out in the pumpkin patch. You can take a horse-drawn carriage ride out to the pumpkin patch. There's a corn maze. There's play areas for the kids, those jumpy houses, all kinds of stuff they're doing.
Can you suggest a couple of places?
There are a lot around here, but there are three that I think in different areas that are probably worth a look. One is Edwards Apple Orchard. It's in Poplar Grove. That's almost out to Rockford, so it's a good long way. But, you know, they have the whole thing. They have apples, they have pumpkins, they have raspberries, and, of course, they have the reason we really all go apple picking, which is the fresh apple cider donuts.
So you're going to make me want one of those right now, Cindy.
Absolutely. You know, I was looking online getting ready for this, and I was like, boy, I really want one of those. They look so delicious, and they smell even better when you're out at the farm. There's one west called Honey Hill Orchard. It's in a place called Waterman, which is just south of DeKalb, so another good long drive. But it has tractor rides, it has a kid's farm, a corn maze, all that kind of stuff, so you could totally make a day out there. And then there's one in Northwest Indiana, which is actually probably the closest, about 40 miles from downtown. It's right about the intersection of I-65 and 94. And it has all the same stuff, right? Apple picking, donuts, apple cider, apple pies, you name it. It's worth the drive.
Anywhere to see colors these days? A lot of you talked about pumpkin patches, apple orchards, that sort of thing. Anywhere if we want to see those leaves? Is it too early for that?
You know, it's just starting. So there are places online you can Google maps of the fall colors. And what's nice about fall colors is if you miss them in one place, you just need to drive a little bit south, because it's going to continue well into November if you can go as far south as Tennessee. But around here, I mean, my favorite place always is to go to Starved Rock. I just think it's beautiful in the fall there. And honestly, it's, you know, it's practically suburbia now, right? It's just out there past Ottawa. So not a long drive at all.
Well, thank you for all the information, Cindy. Always nice to talk with you. Cindy Richards is the editor-in-chief of TravelingMom.com, an online family travel magazine here in Chicago. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. Still to come, the big bargains that can be had in air travel.
An hour of financial planning each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
We are seeing some good deals on airfare this month. Let's talk with George Hobica, airline industry expert, founder of AirfareWatchdog.com, based in Los Angeles. George, Southwest is announcing these big deals. Will other airlines follow?
Yes, they have, Chris. In fact, we are seeing some of the best fares we have seen in a long time. I don't know what's going on, but for example, I just found a fare on Southwest from Midway to Fort Lauderdale in January and February for $25 each way nonstop. And there are lots of fares like that you'll see listed on airfarewatchdog.com.
Well, and do you think that other airlines then are going to match this?
Well, they sort of have matched them, but of course, United, for example, will only have basic economy fares at these prices, which means if you don't have status, you are going to pay for a carry-on bag as well as a check bag, whereas Southwest does not charge for carry-on bags or for check bags, and they have a much better refund policy. United's basic economy fares are non-refundable, non-changeable. With Southwest, if you have to change, you get a credit good for future travel within a year.
So what leads airlines to go with those super low fares? I mean, $25 each way from here to Florida, there's no way they're making money on a passenger that pays that.
No, Cisco, they are not making money on these. I'm not sure. I don't have the answer. I think, you know, it's funny, when all the airlines consolidated, we lost Continental and Northwest. We airfare pundits were panicking, thinking that there would never be any more sales. And that's simply not true. I guess four major airlines within the U.S. are enough to trigger these fare wars.
Is it, when we're looking at what's going on now with these low fares, are we talking, you mentioned one to Florida, are there other longer trips as well within the U.S., or is it usually those regional ones? Sometimes the deals are just to Cincinnati, Indianapolis, that sort of thing.
Sure. Yeah, no, these are pretty widespread. Houston is 76 a round trip on Southwest, and I imagine that United is matching $78 to Denver. Atlanta's $80 round trip. Baltimore's $80 round trip. New York is $80 round trip. Dallas is $80 round trip. Las Vegas is $88 round trip. New Orleans, $88 round trip. Los Angeles, $94 round trip. So there's a pretty long flight. And again, they are matching. What you if you are looking at Southwest.com, you really have to use the flexible date search on their website. It's kind of curious. They used to have a flexible map search where you could just put in dates and then you'd see fares on those dates. They seem to have removed that again. I don't know why they do this.
George, thanks for all the great information. George Hobica is founder of airfarewatchdog.com based in Los Angeles. You will find past programs later today, a podcast of this hour at cbschicago.com/audio and the all-new radio.com app.
WBBM News Time 12:55. We're wrapping up the noon business hour with a check of the markets sponsored by Lake Forest Sports Cars, the Ferrari specialists. At Bloomberg, here's Joan Doniger.
Cisco, Walmart is Wall Street's darling today, helping send the Dow to new territory. It's up 55 points to 22,816. The NASDAQ is down 4. The S&P is up 4. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is gaining about 0.3%. Walmart, one of the leaders there, too, along with United and American Airlines. The airlines seeing more revenue last summer than a price war and hurricane-canceled flights than investors thought they would. But Walmart shares have jumped higher than they have in about 2 years. They're up more than 5% after the company said it expects e-commerce sales to jump 40% in the next fiscal year. And while analysts don't think even that will allow it to catch up with Amazon, they say what it will do is will help Walmart maintain its lead in the grocery market. The other end of the retail spectrum, Sears Canada. The company will seek court approval to liquidate its remaining stores on Friday. About 12,000 jobs will be lost. Sears Canada did not get a viable bid for the company to keep going, although it did get bids for various lines of the business. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.